The U.S. State Department is stepping up its pressure on the military government in Myanmar to release Detroit-born journalist Danny Fenster. Fenster, who's worked in that country for 3 years, is employed as an editor by Frontier Myanmar, an English-language news magazine. He was headed back to Michigan on May 24th when he was detained at Yangon International Airport by Myanmar authorities. His detention has been condemned by Amnesty International, the literary rights group PEN America, and by others. Brian Fenster is Danny's brother, and he joins us now. Brian, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your brother's work in Myanmar?
Yeah, Frontier was kind of covering a little bit of everything, not just kind of news, but culture, kind of day-to-day things happening in Myanmar. And I know Danny really enjoyed it.
Right. What was he working on before he went to Myanmar, and how did that lead him into such an unusual place to do this work?
Well, he's definitely a citizen of the world and really enjoys traveling, meeting new people, getting out of his comfort zone, and absolutely going to the right or the left, not necessarily going straight. So he was in a small town in Louisiana, New Iberia, Louisiana, and he was writing at a small paper there, the Daily Iberian, and I think it was a pretty profound experience for him. And he always just kind of loved telling stories, and you know, we have a family history of survivors during the Holocaust and people who have been oppressed. And I think that's always kind of weighed on him a little bit, and kind of shedding light on other people who are not, you can't compare situations, but the oppressed and people who need a voice.
Right. How did you first learn that he hadn't made it onto a plane?
Oh boy. It was last Monday, May 24th, woke up early as I typically do. And didn't even get to pour the coffee yet. My phone was making noises, and I had a bunch of missed messages. And one of his coworkers gave me a call and kind of told me what was going on. And you know, it was a few seconds of panic, and then you know, we've just kind of been in fight mode ever since.
Yeah, he was at the airport in Yangon, as I mentioned. He was headed home for a visit, wasn't he?
He was. He hasn't been stateside in over 3 years. I got to see him in September of 2019 at a friend's wedding in Poland. But my folks, my kids, our grandma, other cousins, I mean, no one has seen him in over 3 years. So he was on his way here to surprise everybody, basically.
Mm. Do you know where he is?
He is at an insane prison in Yangon.
Yeah, we should say that's the name of the prison. It's INSEIN. Have you heard anything about why he was taken into custody?
We have not. It's we're on day 10, and the regime there has yet to even reply to the request. I mean, if you are arrested and detained overseas, the embassy has a right. I think it's within, I don't know, I think 72 hours to see their national, and they have yet to reply.
It sounds like a lot of your communication with this has been from his employer, not from he himself talking with friends or family. Is that right?
Yes. No one has been able to get in touch with him. And really all we want, we know we're hopeful we're going to work this out. However, the process is overseas, different than here, obviously, but we just want to make sure he's okay. That's the number one worry. We just don't want him to be harmed in any way.
Yeah. Brian, are you able to talk about what you know right now about efforts to communicate with him or free him, or would that compromise negotiations at this point?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there's just not much to really share. We're in constant conversations with the State Department, with the embassy. Representative Andy Levin, he's like my brother. I mean, we've been talking every day. He's going to bat for us. All of our elected officials here in Michigan have been incredible. Our governor has sent notes to the Secretary of State. It's the support is there. The right players are in place. Unfortunately, there's I don't know what goes on over there. It just seems like information moves very, very slowly. And that's not, I should say, it's not for lack of effort for our country. The State Department has been amazing, and we know that the highest people in position are working on this.
Have they told you anything about what to expect?
It seems to be a case-by-case basis. Journalists, the theme seems to be this 505A penal code, which essentially is spreading misinformation about the government. And Danny was an editor, and he had legitimate work papers. Frontier Myanmar still has its license, unlike other publications in the country that had their licenses revoked when the coup started. So it's all very puzzling to us.
Deadline Detroit learned last week that Myanmar's ambassador visited the U.S. State Department. Do you take that as a positive sign that conversation is happening about Danny's case?
Yeah, definitely. And as I said, we know that the people who need to be working on this are working on this. I just don't know. We don't know what the relationships are. We don't have specifics, and we just have to have faith that our government is doing all they can, and we feel that they are.
Right. I can only imagine what state your parents must be in right now. Is there anything you can tell us about what this has been like for your family?
Yeah, the first little bit was disbelief. Obviously, last Monday, the 24th, was horrendous for everybody. But we have this. We're from this small community in Metro Detroit, and there's people got us meal trains, and they're coming in to visit, and they're spreading the word. And it's not just in here and in Michigan. It's happening across the country. We're getting press and praise and shares all over the world. I mean, I know Danny would just be beside himself about that.
You mentioned that he has a great love for the culture and the people that he's met in Myanmar. Did he ever talk to you about the risks that journalists might face in that country, or talk about thoughts that he had about his own safety?
Yeah, he seemed to be very smart about it. Living there long enough, he's been there just over 2 years. I think he knew which areas to avoid, it kind of which times, depending on what was happening politically. But I know a lot of his friends, a lot of reporters were leaving the country because it was getting so dangerous. Military searching people's homes, taking people. People would have to stay in safe houses with their families, or sometimes separate from their families to keep them safe. He knew the risk. But he seemed fairly confident. He's not out on the streets. He's not protesting. He's not spreading misinformation. He's just reporting the news. He's doing his job.
Do you think that leaving the country was an option that he was willing to consider?
He's committed to the work. He likes to see out his jobs, and he feels a commitment to the people there and his friends and employer. He had every intention, as far as I know, of going back to finish the job. And he loves to travel. He usually spends a few years here and there, and then he'll come home for a little bit, and then he'll go on to the next place. But he had every intention of going back, as far as I know.
Brian, is there anything in particular that's getting you through the days, which must seem like the worst of all waiting games?
Honestly, as exhausting as it is to do interviews, and no, with all due respect to you guys, this is the best part, because all we can do is get his name out there, keep it in the news cycle, and hopefully build some pressure to get the departments that need to get things moving quickly here. And we just want to thank everybody. It's been a family effort. We've been doing this all ourselves, but I mean, the whole country's been lifting us up.
Brian Fenster. He and his family are working toward release of his brother Danny Fenster, a journalist who's detained right now in Myanmar. Brian, thank you so much. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you guys very much. We appreciate it.
And that's Stateside for today. I'm April Baer. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow. 3, 2, 1. And that is Stateside for today. Our show is produced by Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, April Van Buren, and by our director, Mercedes Mejia, with additional help from Catherine Nguyen, Nell Ovett, Chantel Phillips, and Olive Scott, who we say goodbye to today after a year plus of profound pandemic work. Olive, thank you for everything. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Stateside's a production of Michigan Radio, a broadcast service of the University of Michigan. I'm April Baer. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.